The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 8th day of January 2023. And tonight we're going to start out our head engineer, who's often a night's like tonight out there repairing things on those towers. They go about, you know, they go bad and in the dead of winter. And he might be out there all night. But Jimmy Gorjanis is in the hospital. He had open heart surgery. And so his family member has called us. And we're going to go to prayer. Now, again, remember, you folks out there, what God's Word, the Bible, has to say. The prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And so I always encourage you to, the Bible says to pray without ceasing, to do that. Every time you pray for someone, you make an investment. You really do, because the day will come when you're going to need prayer. And God is a just God and a holy God. And those that show mercy will receive it. So join with me. There's a lot of power and a lot of prayer. There's a lot of power. So let's pray for Jimmy. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we want to hold Jimmy up right now tonight and ask, Lord, that you would touch him. Lord, he has a lot of ailments. He's not a kid anymore, and he's doing work that a younger man should be doing. But, Lord, we just would ask that you would touch him and that you would heal him, Father God. And, Lord, that you would turn his desires towards you more and more every day in every way in all things. This we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, the title of my message tonight was God's Word versus Man's Opinion on Who is a Jew. And there's been a lot of controversy lately. And, you know, we do, Doers of the Word Baptist Church, we really get into the Word of God. I mean, we take it to a new level. And in such, we often have, believe it or not, Baptists can have different opinions on who is a Jew. And there are those out there today that believe that the Jews can do no wrong, like John Hagee. On the other hand, you have those that believe that the Jews can do no good. Now, that was my old friend Tex Mars. Tex and I were friends for many, many, many years, but his belief on the Jews just changed. It seems like it changed overnight, where he got to the point where he didn't even believe that Jesus was a Jew. And I don't understand. You know, it wasn't because of the Pope, because this happened long before you had the shot out there, okay? I mean, that's having the effect on a lot of people that have taken the poisonous poke out there, the so-called vaccine. Their mental condition is changing, and their whole personality is changing. But that wasn't the case with Tex, because you know, this happened. He's gone home to be with the Lord years ago. Now, there are those that believe that there are no real Jews, but all of them are half-breeds, like Samaritans or Herodians or Khazars. Now, there are those that believe that all professing to be Jews are Jews. There are those that believe that we should not witness to the Jews because they're saved by lineage, just by being Jews that they're saved. And again, we got to go back. That is one of John Hagee's teachings. And so here, there are those that believe that the church has replaced Israel, and we are the new spiritual Israel. That's called covenant theology or replacement theology. There are those that believe that Jesus was not a Jew at all. Okay, Jeremiah Wright and Tex Mars. There are those that believe that all born-again Christians have a Jew living inside of them. And there are those that believe that Hebrew is the language of heaven. And there are those that believe that Jews can do, again, like I said, no wrong. Now, Longfellow said about the Jews are like a little girl with a little curl, and when she is good, she's very, very good. And when she is bad, she's very, very bad. And the very first recorded use of the word Jew was in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 6. And let's take a look at 2 Kings. We'll start with verse 5. Then Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to war, and they besieged Ahaz, but could not overcome him. And at that time, Rezin, the king of Syria, recovered Elath to Syria, and drove the Jews from Elath, and the Syrians came to Elath, and dwelt there unto this day. So Ahaz sent messengers to Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, saying, I am the servant and thy son, come up and save me out of the hand of the king of Syria, and out of the hand of the king of Israel, which rise up against me. And Ahaz took silver and gold, and was found in the house of the Lord, and treasures of the king's house, and set it for a present to the king of Assyria. And the king of Assyria hearkened unto him, for the king of Assyria went up against Damascus, and took it, and carried the people of it captive to Kir, and slew Rezin. Well, here, Israel and Syria were both under Syria's control. They joined forces against Judah, hoping to force the southern kingdom to join their revolt against Assyria and strengthen their western alliance. But the plan backfired when King Ahaz of Judah unexpectedly asked Assyria to come to his aid. And, of course, King Ahaz was a wicked king. Sorry, folks, I had to take a sip. I've been doing a lot of preaching today. But here, this is the first time the word Jew was used, and the word Jew was used to describe someone from Judah, from the tribe of Judah. Now, later on, we see, especially if we read in the book of Esther, how all Jews, both the southern and the northern tribes, were all referred to as Jews. But now, here, today, as we look at this, when it says that, when he said, when I just read from Longfellow, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, that Jews, he described, again, as a little girl with curls. When she's good, she's very good. When she's bad, she's very bad. We have that today, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Well, not today. We have in the Bible, the good was Joseph and Daniel and Isaiah and Elisha. And for the women, it was Hannah and Elizabeth and Mary. The bad we saw was Manasseh and Jeroboam and Ahab and Ahaz. And we see that for the bad for the women was Jezebel, Athaliah, Delilah. Now, when I say the ugly, I'm talking about the communist today. The liberal or the apostate Jew is, they all seem to be a part of communism. like Bernie Sanders, like Chucky Schumer, like Bill Gates, like George Soros, the women, Hillary Clinton, Liz Cheney, Joy Blowhard, Whoopi Cushion Goldberg. These are people that today who are hardcore Antichrist communists. Now, those that say they are Jews, now, when we say that people, who is a Jew? And again, there's a lot of people that have no idea. They think everyone who says they're Jews, are a Jew. But that's not what the Lord Jesus said. If we go to John chapter 8, for example, start with verse 37. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. They answered and said, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, and this did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we be not born of fornication. We have a father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie. He speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And I say the truth. Why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. You therefore hear him not, because you are not of God. Now, and then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and a devil? Well, here, again, those that are the seed are not the children, but they are the seed, but not the children of Abraham. These are apostate. These are apostate Jews. They are the seed of the serpent, Genesis 3:14. They are not real Jews, but the Jews of the synagogue of Satan. Now, the Bible makes it very, very clear. About one-third of those that are professing Jews are Jews, one-third. And we see that when the Lord returns, and those that are all destroyed, but one-third. And so here now, he makes a real distinction between the hereditary sons and the true sons. The religious leaders were hereditary sons of Abraham, founder of the Jewish nation, but therefore claimed to be the sons of God, but their actions show them to be true sons of Satan, for they live under Satan's guidance. The sons of Abraham, faith following of God, would not act as they did. So, again, and you have the very same thing in the apostate church, folks. Those in the apostate church, those what they call the liberal church today, those that embrace abortion, like the United Church of the Antichrist, the Episcopal, those that everything that God's Word, the Bible, calls sin, they embrace. And I truly believe that if you could invent a new sin, you know, tonight, by tomorrow, both the Democratic Party and the United Church of Christ, the World and National Council of Churches, would place that in their mission statement. Because everything that is sin, they embrace. And so, now, I want you to go over to, for example, Romans chapter 9. And in Romans chapter 9, I'm getting there, folks, slowly, but I'm getting there. In Romans chapter 9, Can't believe it. There you go. I'm tired. I really am tired. I've been up all day. This is my third service. Now, here in Romans chapter 9, I want to read verses all the way 1 through 14. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could have wished that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promise, whose are the fathers, and of whom concerning the flesh Christ came, who was over all, God blessed for ever and ever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither, because are they the seed of Abraham, are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, being according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we then say? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. Now, Paul was willing to take the curse, to be accursed, which means to go to hell, for his kinsmen, if they would be converted to Christ, and be actual, real, completed Jews. They are, even to this day, for the most part, the children of flesh. The Jews were proud to be the lineage of Isaac and not Ishmael. Sarah was the mother of Isaac, and Hagar the mother of Ishmael. Hagar was the Egyptian handmaid of Sarah. Now, nobody is saved by lineage. Nobody is saved but lineage, but only by receiving Christ. Now, here, the idea that they were saved simply because they were Jews. Now, again, there are those out there that believe that we should not witness to the Jews. And some of those that believe that, I kept mentioning John Hagee because he's probably the most prominent. But this is not what God's Word, the Bible, teaches at all. In fact, the Bible teaches to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. To the Jew first and then to the Gentile. And so here, I want to go over to Revelation chapter 3. And in Revelation chapter 3, we read verses 7 through 13. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write. Now, the angel, Angelos there, the word means messenger. And that messenger was the pastor of the church, the pastor of the church. Write these things, saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. Now, what he's talking about was the ability to evangelize, the ability to evangelize. The Lord Jesus made it very, very clear that he was going to give us them. Now, there would be those that would come and persecute us, but the seeds, or the blood of the martyrs, were the seeds of the church. The more they persecuted us, the more the church grew. And so here he goes on to say, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door that no man can shut. For thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. And so again, he's making it very clear. He said that he would keep that ability for us to witness. And so the key of David represents Christ's authority to open the door of salvation, and the invitation into the future kingdom. After the door is open, no one can close it. Salvation is assured. Once it's closed, no one can open it. And that time will come when the last person to be saved gets saved. Then we're out of here. Now, he goes on to say, Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not. These are the Jews of the flesh. These are the seeds, but not the sons of Abraham. But do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Well, that hour of temptation is the tribulation period. And you see, the church will not go through the tribulation period. There would be no reason for the church to go through the tribulation period. The purpose of the tribulation period is the purification of the nation of Israel. And the church has already been, is the bride of Christ. When they receive Christ as their Savior, they've already been purified. Next thing is to receive their glorified bodies. He says, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar of the temple of my God. Him that overcometh is simply those that are saved. Once you become born again, you have overcome the world, which is the new Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. I will write upon him a new name. He hath an ear. Let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Well, see here, again, Christians have different gifts, different abilities, experience, so on and so forth. God doesn't expect us all to be the same, but he does expect us to persevere using our assets for him. The Philadelphians are commended for their effort to obey. That's what you read in verse 8 there, when he says, thou hast a little strength. And he says this, that I know that thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength. And that was the commendation. Now, the angel here is the pastor. The key of David is the open door of evangelism. The synagogue of Salier are false Jews. Today, you have a lot of those. You've got Howard Stern's out there. You have Bill Maher. You got George Soros. You got Hillary Clinton, Chucky Schumer, Jeffrey Epstein. On and on and on. They really like sin and communism. These are what they call liberal Jews. These are, again, of the synagogue of Satan. They are not true Jews. They are those that, what he says here, to say they are Jews but are not, because they embrace everything that the Word of God calls sin. And so, again, the hour of temptation is the tribulation period. And we know that those that overcometh are born again believers. Now, there are those that say that we should not witness to the Jews. And so here I want to go over to John chapter 10. And John chapter 10, and I'll get there in a minute. I'm a little slow tonight, folks. I hope I can make it through the program without falling asleep, tell you the truth. But I'll do it. I think I can do it. Courageous Craig will wake me up if I should start snoring. All right. John chapter 10, here, starting with verse 1, in fact. We read this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door unto the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he called his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own, and again, I wanted to say here that the Lord Jesus is the door. He's the shepherd. And here, you know, at night the sheep, they were always gathered into a sheepfold to protect them from thieves, whether or even wild animals. The sheepfolds were usually caves or sheds or open areas surrounded by walls made of stone or or even branches. Now, the shepherds often slept in the fold to protect the sheep, just as a shepherd cares for his flock. Jesus, the good shepherd, cares for his flock, those who follow him. Now, the prophet Ezekiel, in predicting the coming of Messiah, called him a shepherd in Ezekiel 34:23. Now, he goes on to say, He goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the strangers. Now this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what the things which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter into in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, for the good shepherd giveth the life of his sheep. But he that is a hireling and not a shepherd, whose own sheep are not seen, or not seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catching them up and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. Now, I'm going to stop for 1 minute, and I've got to take a sip here. Okay. Now, Jesus is the door, the only way to the Father, the only way to salvation to heaven is through that door. Now, he's also the porter that opens the way to eternal life. Now, the hireling are the prosperity preachers today. They're about money. They don't care about they don't care about the salvation. Hardly ever hear any of them preaching salvation. You always hear them preaching prosperity. They don't care about the sheep. They care about their bank accounts. That's just reality, folks. And the apostate preacher today also, the World International Council of Churches, they're not in it for the cause of Christ. They're in it. The vast majority of them in the pulpit today are not even saved. They're not even saved. Now, the Bible makes it very clear. If God had raised them up, when God raises up a pastor, that shepherd, that pastor is bold as a lion. He's as bold as a lion. Today, when you have these very effeminate men in the pulpits, the idea is, I want to be sweeter than Jesus, okay? God didn't place them there. God places bold and courageous men in the pulpits today, and whose cause is the cause of Christ. And It's not about them. With the Prosperity Church, everything is about me, my, and I. Me, my, and I in the Prosperity Church. And so the Judaizers are false Jews. These are false Jews. And this is what he was referring to here. Now, I want to go over to, again, remember, there are those out there, I keep mentioning John Hagee because he's the most prominent, who do not believe, who believe that you don't, because of their lineage, the Jews are, you don't have to witness to a Jew. In fact, he says he doesn't witness to Jews. Well, let's see what the Bible says. John chapter 3, very, very familiar passage. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou dost except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. He goes on to say, Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. And so here, the only way to be born again is to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. Again, we see those out there, you know, for example, the Word of Faith movement believes that repentance is not necessary for salvation. Jesus said very clearly when he preached for the first time, repent or perish. Repent or perish. Okay? Nicodemus understood that he was not saved by just being a Jew. And so here again, folks, in fact, Scripture says to the Jew first and then to the Gentile, to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. Now, here, I want to go over to John 14. And in John 14, I want to pick it up here in verse 5 through 14. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Okay, you ready? No man come to the Father. No man but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. And Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long a time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Now verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, he's talking about anything that's within the will of God, okay? God's not going to do something, if you're going to ask him to do, if you ask him to provide you with some drugs or some prostitutes, he's not going to do that, is he? No. And so, But he's talking about anything that was in the will. Now, here, Jesus is the only way, because he's both God and man, and Jesus is the visible, tangible image of God, the invisible God. Now, Jesus is telling them that taking the gospel of God's kingdom to the whole world is greater than the miracles that he did there. When he says, you're going to do these even greater miracles, okay? And so, again, there are those that believe that the church has replaced Israel, that we are the new Israel, the spiritual Israel, and God is finished with Israel. Now, folks, that's not what God's Word, the Bible, said. There's so many prophecies about the state of Israel that it'd have to be fulfilled, but let's just take a look and see what it says over in the book of Romans. And in Romans chapter 11, for example, we read this. Starting with verse 1. I say that, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not that thy scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed the prophets and digged down their altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at the present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. When then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back away. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be riches of the world, and diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more the fullness? Now, here Paul points out that the Jews have rejected Jesus, but not all Jews have rejected Jesus. In fact, he points out that nearly all of the early Christians, all of the early Christian missionaries, just about all of the very early ones were Jews. They were all Jews. And so God chose the Jews as his people, which he foreknew to be the people through whom the rest of the world would find salvation. And so, well, let me go on and read a little bit more. For I speak to you Gentiles, insomuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, that might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For the first fruits be holy, and the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. So here he's talking about a couple of things. I want to go back to verse 7 when he says, what then? Israel hath not obtained that which is seeking for, but the election hath obtained it. Now, this is God's punishment for their sins. And then he goes on in verse 10-11, and he says, let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back away. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall salvation has come to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Well, so here now, this is the punishment for their hardened hearts. And had Israel received Messiah when he came, they would have gone right into the millennial kingdom. And, well, it wouldn't have been good for us Gentiles. But God had a plan. He knew way ahead of time what they were, that they would reject him. And that way, salvation came to all, to the Gentiles too. All of those that would call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, here, and again, you have what they call the replacement theology or covenant theology, and those are the ones that are teaching again that God is finished with Israel, but that's far, far, far from being true. Now, there are those that believe that all Christians have a Jew living inside of them. Sometimes people say, Pastor, I just don't understand these people, you know, these charismatic. I've noticed, it seems to me, those that are the most charismatic are women. And, you know, the ones that are speaking in tongues, and often they want to be Jews. They think that by being, somehow that by being a Jew, that you're more holy than by being a Christian. And so, and you know, boy, they'll just go off and they'll be talking in tongues. And, I mean, just really, it seems like they're, but they don't understand this. I wouldn't want to be a Jew because the Jews have to go through the tribulation period. That's the purpose of the tribulation period, is the purification period for the nation, for the wife of God, the nation of Israel, okay? The church don't have to go through that. And so I praise the good Lord, there would be no reason for the church to go through the tribulation period. Now, here, there are those that believe that all Christians have a Jew living inside of them. When I said that, a teaching, the Bible study early this morning, a lot of people laughed. And somebody would say, who believes that? Well, I do, because let's go to Colossians chapter 1, starting with verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery. Now, here's the mystery. Among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope and the glory. And so that's what he's referring to, that we have Christ living within us. Okay, now, after saying that, there are those, again, that don't even believe that Christ was a Jew. Recently, I had two people make the statement that Christ was not a Jew. I said, really? Well, before we get to that, though, there are those that believe that Hebrew is the language of heaven, that the Hebrew language is the language of heaven. So let's take a look at what it says about that, and we go over to Genesis, and in Genesis chapter 11, no, I'm sorry, yeah, it would be Genesis 11. I'm tired, folks. Bear with me. Genesis chapter 11, verse 1. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And so there you go. The whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And so what was that language, that first language there? Well, that was the language from heaven, which was Hebrew. Now, I want to go over to Acts chapter 26. In Acts chapter 26, we read I'm getting there. Okay, in Acts chapter 26, verses 13 and 14. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining around about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why thou persecutest me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand up on thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and those things which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith, that is, in me. So Paul is talking to O King Agrippa, and he's telling him about the Lord Jesus. And Agrippa says, you almost persuades me to be a Christian here. And so here, again, you see, it was about midday, and a voice came from heaven in the Hebrew tongue. A voice came from heaven. And again, this is why they say that Hebrew was the language of heaven. Now, here again, there are those that say, and by the way, I just want to say, look, okay, when we're, because the reason I'm preaching on this is I got caught up in some disputes about who and what is a Jew. And so I said, look, and see, people read all these things, they're reading all this information, all these books and all these things done off the internet. And I said, look, there's only one source, one absolute perfect source of information, okay? There's only one ultimate authority. Now, that's right here, this King James Bible that I have. That is the ultimate authority. Now, that's what the Bible says of itself. Okay, so now here, if we're going to trust anything, and you have all of this information, all this documentation over here, and then you have all of yours over there that are in total disagreement, can we agree that the Word of God has the final answer, that the Word of God settles this argument, that the Word of God is the ultimate truth? It's the ultimate authority, that there's no higher authority. Can we agree that we can let the Word of God decide on who is a Jew, to answer all these questions? Now, these questions are questions that I have been reading to you tonight, you know. Who is a Jew, and all of these things there, that the people shouldn't witness to the Jews, so on and so forth, that they're saved just by being Jews, by lineage. All of these questions here that you had, that the Jews, just by being Jews, they're already saved, and that everyone who is professing Jew is a Jew. And the, you know, the difference, like we're telling you, what the Bible says, there are those that say they are Jews but are not. And that's the vast majority of them that profess to be, but according to the Word of God, they are not. They're the synagogue of Satan. Okay, now, here, and how can you tell? Well, you can tell is what they believe, what they say, what they do, how does it coincide with the Word of God? Is it in line with the Word of God? Or is it in opposition to the Word of God? Well, I can tell you, everything that's liberal today, everything from those people like Chuckie Schumer, George Soros, Hillary Clinton, you know, Howard Stern, those, that's all would be in total opposition to what the Word of God teaches. Now, the question is, are those that are, though they say Jesus was not a Jew, was Jesus a Jew? Well, let's go over here. First, I want to go to Luke, okay? And in the book of Luke, chapter 2, for example, just one verse. That's the wrong verse. Let me see. I want to go to Matthew 27 first. Matthew 27, just one verse, verse 37. And set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Remember, when Pontius Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus said, "Thou hast said." In other words, you have said that I am. In other words, you have testified that I'm the King of the Jews. Now, but let's go for some real evidence here. And that is where we were just at here in Luke. Over in Luke, for example, in chapter 2. Here now, Jewish families went through several ceremonies after the birth of a child. After the birth of a child, one, you had circumcision of the male child, redemption of the firstborn, purification of the mother. She's unclean for 40 days for a male baby and 80 days for a female baby. She could not enter into the temple until after her days of purification were over. And so here we pick it up in Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for his circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, meaning God's with us, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now, this is what Jews do to their child, and I'm talking about real Jews, okay? And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Well, if you could actually afford a lamb, but most of those people couldn't afford a lamb in those days. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for my eyes have seen the salvation which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of the people Israel." And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken. Now you notice something here. It says Joseph and his mother. Because Joseph was not his father. God was his father. But in the New Age versions of the Bible, the New Age perversions, they have, "and his father and his mother marveled at those things which were not spoken." Well, we're out of time again for tonight. Folks, I do want to tell you to remember to keep Jimmy the Greek in prayer. And folks, also for this ministry, we're looking for a miracle from God. We have to the 25th of this month for a miracle to help us. And we have already said that several of the stations that were on Denver, Portland, Oregon, Little Rock, Arkansas, Atlanta, Georgia, Orlando, Florida, and Tampa, Florida, we will be off all of those stations unless we receive that miracle. But if that happens, they'll still be able to hear us by going to the wordcleveland.com. But the most important thing, things are happening rapidly. The fact that things are moving so quickly is a sign. It's a very, very clear sign, just right out of Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, that we are in the days just prior to the Lord's return, to the time of the rapture of the church. And this is called the days of sorrow, where you're seeing the split. It's become so wicked in the country, the wickedness exactly as it's getting prepared for the Antichrist. Today, the Church of Satan, is actually the unofficial, official church of the Democratic Party. Folks, those in the media now are promoting more and more. And a number of places in this country, in the blue states, where they don't allow nativity scenes, but they'll allow the Baphomet, they'll allow the satanic altars to be placed up, and they're teaching children having satanic studies in some of the public schools. Folks, if you love your children, get them out of the public schools. You need to know what's going on there, and the libraries. But the most important thing is that you're going to die, and it's appointed to all men once to die and then the judgment. You're going to die, and you're going to go to heaven or hell. You don't want to go to the latter, believe me. You don't have to go to hell. You don't. You can spend all of your life in eternity in heaven and glory, folks, if you're smart. If you do what the Lord Jesus did, he's already done the heavy lifting. He's given you a way out. He's given you an open door to get out of the lake of fire. What you have to do is do just what he says. Pray to the Father, ask for forgiveness of sin, and then call upon his name and ask the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of your life, all of your life. And he will. He'll honor that. And you'll be indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and you'll be a new creature. How much time do I have? Okay, so we are out of time for tonight. We have some very powerful programs coming up. You don't want to miss what we have coming to you. So, until tomorrow, as we always say, well, good night. I'm down to where? Okay, well, I have more time than I thought. Okay, again, we have some very, very powerful programs out there. Remember, also, the newsletter, if you're not getting a newsletter, it's free. Get the newsletter. Good night, God bless, and always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.